How's everybody doing this morning, St. John's? Good, yeah, we got one excited. Awesome. We're going to get there. I appreciate it. I'm going to be looking at you whole time. I better hear at least 600 amens. Start now. Okay. So if you don't know by now, I typically start off with a big question. It helps me get my mind to where I'm going. So here's my big question. Feel free to answer, but don't worry if you don't want to answer. I'm going to embarrass myself in a minute, so it'll make everything better. What is something that you were really, really bad at when you were growing up? Any takers? All right. I just want you to know that the 8 o'clock service, like, they jumped in there. So there's a lot of pressure on you, 10:30. You're known as the rowdy crowd. Patience. I appreciate that. Patience. So unfortunately, we're not always going to be the best at everything that we do. It's not going to happen. There's going to be some things in our life where we're going to have the skill equivalent of a pregnant pole vaulter. We're not going over. We're not getting there. It's not going to happen. See, when I was in elementary school, we had to do this thing called the Presidential Physical Fitness Test. Anybody did it? Raise your hand if you did it. Yeah? Yeah? I see a lot of like grimaces and a lot of pain on the face. I'm with you. So this did one major thing, you know, graded your physical fitness. So you had to run the mile for a time. You see how many push-ups you could do, how many sit-ups you can do in a minute, how many pull-ups you can do, things like that. And so when I was in second grade, you're going to love this. I came in 63rd overall in pull-ups. Why is that number significant? Well, there were a grand total of 63 kids in my PE class. You're laughing, but it's real. You know, they gave medals to the kids that did the best. You know what they gave me? They gave me a discount code to a gym membership. Yeah, well, I didn't take that, but instead, they gave me this piece of paper. You know what it said? You tried, smiley face. And that made me feel even better. And you can ask my parents sitting over there. That didn't even make it home. That was trashed immediately. I was not feeling it. But maybe you say, well, you know, Trent, you're in second grade. Your world-class athleticism hadn't set in yet. You had not quite gotten there. So what if you were in like an artistic phase, you know? Arts. So I will tell you, I'm also the kids, and they can also attest to this. I'm also the kid that had a letter sent home to mom and dad because I told my teacher that the lines on my coloring sheet were merely suggestions. And I shall do what I want, when I want, when I'm coloring. So that was not a solid point for me either. But there's people all the time, everywhere, that seem to be rising to the top, that seem to be elevating themselves to another level. They're becoming the cream of the crop. They're becoming the best of the best. They are differentiating themselves. And their success is almost envious. We want to be that person. And some of us in this room, we feel like we're never going to get there, that it's just out of reach. Maybe if I get to, you know, 62nd overall in my class, I might get one step there, but it's just one step out of reach, and I'm never going to get there. It's like an ingredient that I can't buy at the store that I'm missing for the recipe for success, and I'm envious. I'm tired. I feel like I might have made the team. I'm on the team. I'm good enough, but I can't get on the field. I'm not good enough to play the game. I have no skin in the game. I have no scrapes, no bumps, no bruises, nothing to show for it. What I do is I sit on the sideline in a chair, kind of like what you're doing right now, and I watch people do life. I watch people be successful. I watch people walk into what they say is their calling, and I sit on the sideline, and I wait for my turn. I wait to get that affirmation. I wait to be able to get in the game. But you know what? That never comes for me. I sit on the sideline and I waste. And the problem with that is when you take that mindset and you add it to your relationship with your Heavenly Father, when you begin to tell yourself that you can no longer live an extraordinary life for the extraordinary God that you serve. Right, and so you begin to just get by. But Jesus told us this, number one, that he is extraordinary. Because he is. He's the extraordinary God that lives inside of us. But he didn't say, you know, if you have the ability, if you have the talent, if you can, then you know what, you can go and make disciples. But over here, if you can't, just fit in. No, he said very plainly, I'm going to paraphrase, take the back and put it to the front. He said, remember, I'm always with you. remember, I am always with you. And because I'm with you, very plainly, no ifs, ands, or buts, you can. You can do it. So because you can do it, go and make disciples. That is your call, no matter what profession you have, no matter what you seek. We all have the call to go and make disciples of all nations. So how does God take a person like me, take a person like you, and how does he mold us into the kind of person that he entrusts great things to? How does he take us and create us into the leaders that he has called us to be? Because you've been called to lead people. You've been called to make disciples. So no matter how you want to say it, God has predestined you to lead. He has called you to lead. Because if we're all being honest here, if we're really being honest, and I hope you are with me, then you will say very plainly, I don't want to waste my life away. I want to do something with my life. I don't want to sit on the sidelines. I want to play the game. I want to get in there. I want to get dirty. I want to rough it up. I want to see what I can do. I want to be successful. I want to live the life worthy of the calling that I received. I want to live the life that God has called me to. I don't know how to do that, but I want to do that. Right? And so we're going to look at a passage here in a second. I believe it unwraps some principles that God uses to move in us, and then God uses to move through us. And it's going to be 1 Chronicles 11. It's going to be on the screen halfway. I'm sorry. We're working on it, I promise. But it'll also be back here if you don't have a Bible. But I want to talk about this scripture for a second, because this is a very, very favorite part of scripture for me, because this is a little boy's favorite scripture. This is the action movie. This isn't the this begot that and this begot that, and this isn't the size of the temple. It's not the little details, but this part of scripture, 1 Chronicles 11, it's filled with stories of victory. I'm going to see a victory. It's filled with action. It's filled with guys throwing spears at people and defending their homeland and heroic songs and victory and triumph and rage. I'm a guy. I love rage. We'll admit it. But it's full of all these really awesome things for a young man. Right, and this is one of the things that made me fall in love with the Bible. There's things like this in the Bible that I could relate to, like I want to do this. But these are special men in the Bible. Right? These are people that were the top of the top for King David. These people will become to known as David's mighty men. David's mighty warriors. They were the best of the best of his army. And here's the story of three of those guys. 1 Chronicles 11, starting in verse 15, says this. Three of the 30 chiefs came down to David to the rock of the cave of Adullam, while a band of Philistines were encamped in the valley of Rephaim. At that time, David was in the stronghold, and the Philistine garrison was at Bethlehem. David longed for the water, and he said, Oh, if somebody could just get me a drink of the water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem. I don't want the water here. I want the water over there. I want the water at home. Somebody can just get me a water from home. So the three, they broke through the Philistine lines. They drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and they carried it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out to the Lord. God forbid that I should do this, he said. Should I drink the blood of these men who went at the risk of their lives? Because they risked their lives to bring it back, David would not drink it. Such were the exploits of the three mighty warriors. If I was going to give a title to this message, I'd call it this: From Warrior to Water Fetcher. Let's pray. God, we've gathered in this place to worship you. So we ask you very humbly to speak. Speak, Jesus. Your servants are listening. We want to learn from you today. It's in your name we pray. Amen and amen. So this story, it begins very, very plainly. Right? The words are very plainly. It says this. It says three of the 30 chiefs. Three of the 30 chiefs. So that shows us this. David had tiers of leadership in his army. So then at the bottom you had the Indians, as I call them. The Indians, the grunts. Right? And then you start going up the tiers of chiefs. You had men that had the ability to lead hundreds of people. And they were over these people. And then above them, you had people that had the capability and the leadership to lead thousands of people. They led thousands and thousands of people. But in this group, there was a circle of 30 people that were the best of the best. They were his inner circle, King David's inner circle. This was his council. This was his cabinet. This was his friends. These are the people that he did life with. So, it's pretty easy, don't you think? To separate somebody that's good at something and somebody that's not good at something. Do you agree? Yeah, would you agree? Like singing, for example. You're never going to catch me up here. I will never be singing those songs. Why? Because I'm not good. I know I'm not good. My wife, not here, taking care of the baby. Love my baby. But she knows I'm not good. So you know what? I'm going to keep it in my shower and you're going to thank me later. I'm not good. But then, it's also pretty easy to be able to separate the people who are good at something and the people who are great at something, right? There's just something that sets them apart. Like, these people are good, but these people, they take it to another level. Right, now we're getting up there. But what happens if the 30 people sitting in front of you are the best of the best? How do you set them apart? How do you differentiate them? How do you tell who's who and what's what? Well, the Bible tells us very simply how David did it. David didn't choose them at all. All right, the scripture didn't say that David took this test, gave it to him. He didn't say he did a strength finder. He didn't say that he did some kind of process of elimination. What he said, or what the Bible says, is that these three men came to him. They came to him. So within reason, it's pretty easy to say that these three guys chose themselves. They chose themselves. They made themselves available to their king. They made themselves available to their king. And if you want to watch God to move in you, if you want to see God move in you and you want to see God move through you, then the first thing that you have to do is simply show up. You have to make yourself available to the king. Show up. Find yourself in the room where God is. Find yourself pursuing his will. Find yourself pursuing his presence. See, the difference between the three and the rest, it wasn't intellect, it wasn't skill, it wasn't past experiences, it wasn't passions. It was simply that they did what? Showed up. They put themselves there. And it may not seem like much, but the fact that you're sitting here at 11:15 a.m. on a Sunday morning means that you showed up. We're on the right path. Now, granted, you didn't have to fight a bear or a lion or a tiger, or you didn't have to fight a big Philistine army, or you didn't have to cross the seven seas, maybe traffic, but you didn't have to do anything crazy to get here. You didn't have to fight a war to get here. But isn't it crazy? And we could admit it. I'll admit it as a pastor. Sometimes it happens to me. Isn't it crazy that sometimes these things happen in our brains that try to prohibit us from just doing the simple task of showing up? Showing up to this place. Let me give you some examples. Oh, my windshield's frozen over. Oh, it's sunny outside. It's cloudy. It looks like it's going to rain, or it rained last year, or I went last year, or, you know, the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl, and they play at 11:30, so I really need to see this game. It's not prophecy, by the way. It's just the team I thought of first. Right? There's always something that's pulling us away from making ourselves available. Newsflash, he's called the enemy. But there's always something pulling us away from being available to God. But you are here right now, and that is incredible. I am so thankful that you are here right now. But this weekly gathering, this isn't all we do, right? When we meet here at 8, 9:30, and 10:30 at 512 2nd Avenue Southeast, Coleman, Alabama, this isn't what we're about. This isn't where God comes to have his epicenter of what he's doing. This is where God comes to equip us, then send us out to do the important work that he has called us to do. This isn't just a place of gather. This is a war room. This is the barrack. This is the equipment room. Right? And so, I want you to know something, that you don't have to fight. You don't have to fight for anything. But you don't have to fight to be chosen by God. You don't have to fight to get his attention, sing, dance. Ooh, over here, God. He's already chose you. He's only asking you to show up. He's only asking you to make yourself available. That's it. He wants you to show up and say, I am willing to be used. Willing to be used. Now, I think before I go any further, I need to make a distinction. I don't believe that the 27 other guys did anything wrong. Right? I don't think that they did anything wrong. I just believe that the three did something more. Right? The three just did something a little bit more. Right? They chose to make themselves an important group of people. This is an important group of people. These are people who elevate themselves beyond the expected. These are people that don't just get by with what they have to do and then coast the rest of the way. They gave it everything they had. Right? They gave it everything they had inside them. Not because they wanted to be in a book. Not because they wanted stories or songs written about them. But you know what? They knew they were called to faithfulness. They gave what they had because they chose to be faithful. That's exactly what God's calling you to. He's calling you to operate in faithfulness. So I ask you the question, what are the places in your life where God is asking you to step up and be faithful? Stop standing backwards. Stop watching it happen, but step up and make yourself available and walk in faith. See, David, in verse 17, you know, I read scripture sometime, and I don't know if I always catch like the right context or not, like hear it the way that it was written to be. But when I read this with David, what he's saying, I hear like that woe is me, like attitude, like the woe is me, I'm sad, I'm upset. So it's like, oh, if somebody could just get me that one drink. Somebody could just go across the line and get me water from that well. Not this well. I want that well. The well that's behind the, I mean, like the well of my hometown. The well that housed the promise that God gave me. If somebody could just get me water from there, I will be okay. But there's actually a lot of problems. Number one, well's behind enemy lines. Right, we're not just going to walk in and be like, hey guys, cool seeing you hit the water cooler. Let's sit around and talk. Yeah. No, these are the enemies. Not only are they the enemies, these are the Philistines. If you know anything about the Philistines and King David, David fought a really big Philistine, Goliath. The Philistines were his people, which means that these were people that were giants. They were huge people. They were massive, massive people. They were people that did not care. They did not care what you wanted. They were ruthless. They were cold. They were powerful. And let's just call it how it is. They wanted to kill every single Hebrew. David, dead. His men, dead. That's what they wanted. And so if I'm one of those three, I'm one of those three guys, and I hear David say that, oh, I just wish I could have the water from the well over there that's behind the enemy lines, that's guarded by the giant Philistines that just want to kill me. Like, if I can get that, then I'm going to be happy. You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say, me too. Me too. And you know what? I'd probably just like hand him a ball of Dasani or something. Quote what my mom said to me starting at like age 12. You're old enough now where your wants won't hurt you. Anybody heard that? You're old enough now where your wants won't hurt you. So start wanting some water over here. David, let me introduce you to Deer Park, okay? And so I've asked all the other services. I just want to know. Be honest. I'm going to be honest with you. How many of you, when you hear this, you would go run and get the water? How many of you are going to go dive into imminent death and get the water? Okay, so I want you to know, my hand's down for a reason, and nobody that's come to church today at St. John's has raised their hand. This is crazy. Absolutely crazy to do so. But the three, they did something completely different. What did they do? They take action. They took action. And if you want to be leaders that step up in the moment and allow God to use you, we can't just show up. Then we have to take action. It's not good enough to be present. You have to be present and active. You have to be present and active. Right? We can't live our lives for safety anymore. We can't live our lives trying to be comfortable anymore. We have to live by Galatians 2:20. It says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. I live by faith in the Son of God, the Son of Man, the one who is and is to come, the one who was, my healer, my protector, my provider. I live by that. I want you to look at the person beside you and tell them, I live by faith. All right, so I've preached twice. This is the third time. It's 10:30. I need a nap. I need you to wake me up. Tell them, I live by faith. I live by faith. You live by faith. And if you're a confirmant man in this room, give me a confirmant. I didn't even make eye contact with one of them. Oh, there we go. It's Varney. Today's your day, buddy. Right? Heidelberg, your best friend, he reminds us this, that our true comfort in life and death is what? We are not our own. Exactly. That we are not our own, but we belong both body and soul to Jesus. Our comfort in our life is that we no longer have control of our life, but that we've been paid for, that we've been bought by a sinless, perfect sacrifice. Yeah. Isn't that incredible? That you've been paid for, that you've been bought. That is something worth shouting about. That's something worth getting excited about. So I want you to look at the other person, your second choice, the one you didn't think was as cute or the one that you thought didn't brush their teeth this morning. And number one, I want you to tell them, I'm sorry you're my second choice, but then I want you to tell them, I am not my own. You are not your own. And because you are not your own, you have been charged to live by faith. You have been charged to live by faith. Not what you see, not what you touch, not what you feel, but what he says. How he directs. How he guides. So you have a choice. You have the choice of stepping up to the battle line, if you will. Stepping up to the enemy line and choosing to not only be present and make yourself available, but then taking action, right? Or you can sit in the back of the room. It's dangerous in the front. I don't necessarily blame you, but you can sit in the back of the room and you can watch and you can wait for somebody else to make that decision you didn't make. And when they make that decision that you didn't make, then you're gonna see God do something that only he can do through them, because my God is faithful. My God says that when somebody steps up and they declare that he is the one, then he will show that he is the one, that he will be the healer, that he will be the provider, that he will cause a dead man to come to life, that he will be our way maker, our miracle worker. He will do these things through you if you choose to be available and to say yes. All right, and sometimes when we're walking by faith, we're called to do things that are unexpected. Right? We're called to do things that are unexpected. We didn't plan for them. We didn't ask for them. They're just, boom, here. Right? And so I think this. I don't think that King David actually wanted these guys to go track down this water. I think that he was crying for home. I think he was upset because he was taken out of his promise. He wanted to be Bethlehem. And that water would remind him of the promise that he was given by God. right? And so I don't think that he actually wanted them to go get it. And let me tell you something. We've all, every single one of us, have declared in this place today, St. John's, that them going to get it is absolutely insane. Dadgum near impossible. My God turns the impossible into the possible. Right, my God turns the impossible into the possible. So what do? They go after it. They go from warriors to water fetchers. They're no longer a warrior. They're going to go get the water. Right, and it just so happens that in this moment, that the only people that could have succeeded, the only people that could have got the water were the warriors. Isn't that funny how that works? The water fetchers had to be the warriors. I'm gonna take a couple minutes. I don't want to brag on somebody, but we've talked about three categories: being available, taking action, and doing what's unexpected of you. But I don't want to brag on somebody. It's not the only person in the room that fits this category, but it's somebody that I really want to know that they're appreciated. Carter Guest, will you stand up for me for a second? See that kid right there? That young man most certainly shows up. He most certainly puts in the work, and he most certainly does what is not expected of him. Right? This is a man. You're a man now, sort of. We're there. Mom, what do you think? Is he a man? Sometimes. But he's a man who graduated high school last year. He's a full-time student. He's employed by the guy that he's sitting beside. He has a girlfriend of 4 years, sometimes. He has a family who he loves, who he's there for. He has friends that he invests into. And then on top of all of that, he decides to volunteer. He decides to take time out of his time and give it to the church, and he serves. And let me tell you something, he is not employed by our church, but I would fight for it in a heartbeat because he makes us go forward. So I have a list of things that he does. These are just things that came off the top of my head. And he doesn't do all of these every single week, but these are things that he's involved in just in this church. So number one, you witnessed it today. He's on the worship team. He plays the drums. He's on the production team. He's part of that group back there, and he helps run the slides. Right? And he keeps the student team running. He really does. He leads our middle school boys small group every single Wednesday. He plans every single game that those kids play. Every single Wednesday, he preps them, he plans them, he runs the tech for all of the middle school services. He makes it happen, right? And not only is he doing that, is he's taking kids beside him and saying, let me teach you how to do this. Let me show you how to do it and be better than I am, right? He's part of my creative team that I have, a little thing that I do where I take pictures, I create videos, and I edit graphics. I make these things. He serves in the godly worship team sometimes with the 4, 5, and 6-year-old kids. Can somebody just say thank you for that? 4, 5, and 6-year-old kids, if that's you, man, more power to you. He's always one of the first to get here, and he's most likely the last to leave. And usually he's following me out, and he opens the door for me and lets me go in front of him. Right, he sets up rooms, he tears down rooms, he cleans up rooms, he picks up garbage, he takes trash out. Not because he's asked, because he wants to. Right, he prays for his pastors, not just the youth pastor, for all the pastors. And he prays for the congregation, not just the 10:30 service, not just the people that he has influence over, but every single person in this congregation, he prays for them. He prays for the people that they have influence over. And he tries to get in my head, and he tries to do the task that I need to do before I put them on my to-do list. It's kind of strange because he does it a lot. But he does these things with a joyful spirit while ever asking for recognition, while ever asking for somebody to take a look at him. And he does it with that goofy smile on his face. That one. And if you know him, he's dancing all the time. Just like this. I don't think he ever stops doing this. Right, but he does this. He's a young man that just like the three mighty warriors. Right, he does things that are unexpected of him. And he's not the only one, but I'll tell you thank you in a second. But these three guys were above being water fetchers. Right, they were above going to get water for the king. They were warriors, and by the way, they were the best that the Hebrews had to offer. They were some of the best in the world. You know what was special about them? what was special about them is they did not see serving people as beneath them. Right? They didn't see serving people as something that they were too good to do. So let me tell you what's going to change the world. Right? Let me show you what's going to make a difference. It's when leaders begin to serve and servants begin to lead. What changes the world is when leaders begin to serve and servants begin to lead. So I want to thank you. You better not cry, because I'm going to cry if you cry. Close your eyes. Look down. You can hear it. Right, I want to thank you for being a water fetcher. I do. I want to thank you for the times that you brought me water when I was thirsty, literally, like this, and figuratively. For the times when I was tired and you brought me rest. For serving with a humble attitude and with a joyful spirit. I want to say thank you for doing things that nobody expects of you. But that's your character and that's who you are. Because you and every single other person that serves this church behind the scenes, every single man and every single woman that serves behind the scenes, you're setting a standard. You're setting a standard of what it looks like to love God, what it looks like to love people, to live free of the bondages of sin, and to make a difference. You're setting a standard for that. And it's not just you, but I want to say thank you to you and every single other person in this room. And I want to honor that. Come on, church. Can we say thank you for everybody that says yes and serves behind the scenes? Because it's people like that that make the church happen. They are the church. So the men come back with the water. They come back with the water and they give it to David. And I'm sure it's not in a bottle. I don't think these were invented yet, but they give it to David. Pours it out. Pours out the water. Let me tell you something. If I was one of those three guys, you know where I'm going. Right there. You know what the left hand of fellowship is? Praise God for left hand of fellowship. Right? I don't know if I'm going to be upset. I don't know if I'm going to go crazy. I'm just going to stand there with mouth wide open. But I'm going to have a bad day. I'm going to have a terrible day. But David didn't do this. He didn't do this out of disrespect. He didn't do this to try to hurt them or upset them. He did it for actually quite the opposite. He did it because it meant so much. Because those men risked their lives to get him what he asked for. These men who served underneath David drove David to sacrifice. He drove David to put an offering to the Lord. David was moved. He got what he wanted. He explicitly says, I want this so bad. I want to drink from this specific water, from this specific well. And by the way, can you just imagine those three guys running in? All these Philistines are like 10 foot tall. But they're running, protecting all the assets, the king, the gold, the plunder, whatever. And these guys just calmly like run over, killing guys on the way because they were warriors. Get a cup. I'm out. They leave. Can you imagine that? And so they bring it. But this meant so much to David. This is exactly what he wanted. They sacrificed. But yet he doesn't take a single sip. He doesn't touch it. God, but this means so much to me, and I want to offer my best to you. So let me sacrifice this. Let me offer this as an offering to my great God. It moved him to worship. So let me tell you something, St. John's. If God brings you that drink, if God hands you that cup, it is not so you can take it in. It's not so that you can quench your thirst, or you can indulge yourself, or you can get what you wanted. So you can give it back. You can give it back as an offering to him. He gives you that cup so then you can place yourself in a posture of worship and say, God, thank you so much for loving me so well. God, I don't deserve how good you are to me, but you're awesome, God. I want to worship you for that. Right, so all these gifts that God's given you, all these talents that God's given you, these passions, these desires, these things that keep you up at night, the things that make your brain tick, God didn't give them to you just for you. He didn't give them to you for you. He gave them to you so you could give it back to him. And how do you give it back to him? You serve his people. You serve his people. That's what God wants from you. So today I have one objective. One objective today. I came here to do one thing. And that is to encourage you to get your butt off the bench and get in the game. We sit back. We say, I can't do it. I don't measure up. I don't have the success that these people do. I don't have the ability. But God says, yes, you do. He says that you have the ability. I'm here to tell you that God has called you, where you're at right now, to make a difference in the world. He has chosen you, that the God that created the solar system that quick, the God that created the air that you breathe, the sky that you see, the stars, he created the water, the animals, he created a platypus, and he created all these things, everything that you see and you feel. He spoke it into existence. Ah! It's there. The power of his words changed literally everything. And that's the God that chooses to dwell inside of you so that way you can be used by him. You can be used by him. He wants to use you. That very same God wants to do incredible works in your life. He wants to change who you are. And he wants to change people through you. Here's the cool thing. This is what I love so much about my God. And there's so many things I love about him, but this is one thing. He doesn't need me. I'm an imperfect being. I sin all the time. My wife said amen somewhere. He doesn't need me, but he chooses me. It brings him joy to watch you serve. It brings him pleasure to know that you are his plan A. He has called you the salt and the light. He has called you the hope of the world. You are his church. You are his people. You are his changing agent. He says yes to you. He says yes to me. You don't have to fight to be chosen by him. You don't have to wave your arms, do a dance, jig, do something crazy to get noticed by him because he's already affirmed you. He's already said, yes, that's mine. That's mine. He's mine. She's mine. Before you said yes to him, he said yes to you. He approved you before your creation. Before you said yes to him, he died for you. He didn't wait for a response. He gave you freedom. He gave you power so that you can see the victory. So that you can see the victory. And you don't have to do anything crazy. You just have to show up. You have to be available. My students that are here, they can tell you, I talk about this all the time. I talk about serving with an open hand. Can everybody do this? Can you open your hands like this? I want to be a person that serves with an open hand. You know what this means? I don't choose what's here. Literally anything can fall from the sky and land in my hands, but you know what? Whatever lands in my hands, I know God's calling me to be faithful with it. Whatever God puts in my hands today, I want to take care of it. I want to steward it to the best of my ability. God, I want you to use me, and I want to be faithful to what you want to use me for. God, you have given me living water. God, you have given me a drink that's satisfied. I've experienced life and life more abundantly, but God, there are people that need that. They need that drink. They need that touch. And you know what? God wants to give it to them through you. He doesn't have to. He chooses to. You know what God asks of you? To serve with open hands. To be available and simply say, yes, God, I will. yes, God, I will. So I'm gonna close, but I'm a man that likes to make declarations, and there's a prayer that I pray all the time. I try to every single morning in my shower. I try to stand there, just take 10 seconds and open my hands. If you make a declaration with me, will you stand up and open your hands? Pray with me. God, you are so perfect in all of your ways. You don't need me, God. You choose me. You choose to use me. It's an honor to serve you. I'm so thankful that I'm loved by you. And God, today I choose. I say yes, that I am here and I'm available. God, use me for whatever you want to. Whatever falls in my hands, God, I want to be faithful. You've been faithful to me. God, you choose me, and today I'm choosing you. Here I am, God, use me. And in praying that, we also pray as his son Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I'm gonna see victory. I'm gonna see victory. For the battle belongs to the Lord. Sing it out. I'm gonna see victory. I'm gonna see victory. For the battle belongs to the Lord. I'm gonna see victory. I'm gonna see victory. For the battle belongs to the Lord. As you take the enemy.
That lives in you, I pray that he gives you the power. And I pray that you say yes. Church, go this week, serve with open hands. Amen.